May the Lord bless the meditations of my heart and the words of my lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This morning is one of those mornings when what more can be said than what we have read and what we have heard this morning. The sermon thought for the day is "A Man of No Reputation," which comes directly from the Epistle of Philippians. And then as we have heard the passion according to St. Matthew, you can see that what St. Paul is talking about our Lord not thinking itself of something to gain honor, but humbling himself to death, even upon death of the cross. We can see that with the scourging, with everything that took place. And it would be impossible for us to, you know, we can relay it, we can talk about it, we can even see a wonderful movie, The Passion of the Christ, that displays in images of what it meant to be crucified, but we will never be able to fully understand the pain and the suffering that our Lord went through. On top of that, being a totally innocent man. On top of that, doing that for our sins. All of that being weighed on another. This is such a mournful and such a sorrowful, yet at the same time a joyful time. We are sorrowful and we are mournful because of what our Lord went through. We are sorrowful and we are mournful because we were the ones that caused Him to go through this. We are the ones who were standing there saying, "Crucify Him." And yet joyful because He did it. And in doing that, gained us access and salvation. And that is something that we should be willing to take hold and to grasp. But we always have to remember that our Lord humbled Himself. And in His humility, gave us an example to follow. The exact title of the sermon thought, "Man of No Reputation," comes from a hymn by a guy by the name of Rich Mullins. And it was one of his final songs that he wrote before he died. And the chorus says, "This man of no reputation who loves us with tender affection." That's just such a wonderful chorus there. That this man, who did not have a place to lay his head, this man who took upon the sins of the world, loves us greatly. What a stark contrast to the world. I mentioned in Bible study a couple of weeks ago that one morning when I was down at Charleston, I had the TV on kind of for background noise as I was getting ready, and a TV preacher came on, and he was selling green prayer cloths, not white, green. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I said, "You know, I may get in that business, but I think I'm going to do purple because purple just looks better, and biblically, you know, you can grant it with royalty and everything. And, you know, if anybody wants a prayer cloth, let me know, and I'll put you down for an order before I take it to the airways on TV." I'm just teasing with that. But this man was selling green prayer cloths. And he had a magazine in front of him, and he talked about when he was growing up reading the Sears and Roebuck's catalog and having a wish list. And I remember when Sears actually published their catalog around Christmas, and it was called the Wish Book, you know, and I would go through it, and all the toys that was there, I would wish upon wish upon wish that they would be brought. Well, he said that with this prayer cloth, because God loves us so much and because God wants to give us the desires of our heart, that if we had this prayer cloth, we could go through those books and we could lay those prayer cloths on what we wanted and claim them, and they would be ours. Poppycock. Do not waste your money. Do not waste your time. Do not get the prayer cloth. They do not work. Because in all of this, as this preacher was talking a prosperity gospel, as this preacher was talking about God wants to give us the desires of our heart, he forgot to say, but our heart should be changed so the desires of our heart are the desires of God's heart, not greed. And we always have to remember that no matter if we want a big house, no matter if we want a fancy car, no matter if we want the best suits, we still follow the example of a homeless man, of someone who did not have a place to lay his head, of someone who did not even have enough wealth to buy his own tomb. Someone who came into this world not to associate, with those who thought they had everything, but to reach down to those who needed him the most. What a stark contrast with what the world tells us we should go for. The lesson of Easter, the lesson of Passion, the lesson of Holy Week is to show us the example of our Lord, who willingly went to the cross to die for us, and then turns and looks at us and says, "The love that I have shown, you are to show as well." And so we, in response to that, grab hold of the sacrifice, because it is that sacrifice which redeems us, which creates in us a new heart, but at the same time reaches out to show that love to others. That is our call during this time. As we remember the sacrifice, as we remember the gift that was given to us, we go and share that to others as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.